Amen. God bless you, Sister Gan. Appreciate that good talk. I want to say, if you're here today and you're not saved, again, what a great opportunity the Lord is giving you. Early this morning, I just felt the great need, and I just knelt down by the bed and prayed that today would be the day that you find the Lord. And I've said it many times, and I'll say it again today. If that takes place here, I promise you this will be the best day of your life. And there's many people here today that could testify to that same thing. Amen. Nothing like being saved. I want to read some scripture today from the first chapter of 2 Thessalonians, beginning with verse 7. So if you have your Bible and want to read with me, turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And I want to begin reading there with verse 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of his calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's reading from 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 7 through 12 for a scripture reading. The subject, the title of my message today will be Disobedience Brings Wrath. Disobedience brings wrath. I want you to think with me today about why God punished Jonah when he told Jonah to arise and go to Nineveh and to preach to that great city. When Jonah caught a ship and went the other way, why did God punish him by preparing a great fish to swallow him up? Was it because he hated the city of Tarshish where he was headed? Why did God take Moses up on a mountain and take his life and not allow him to go into the promised land after all those years that he led the people, because there was a time when God had told him to speak to the rock that the water would come out, and instead Moses in his anger took the rod and he hit the rock. Why did God take that so hard? Why did he punish Moses the way that he did for doing that? Well, it's because they didn't do what God told them to do. And that's it. He punished them, and we have many other instances and many other examples in the Bible where people received things from God. They received punishment from God because they did not listen to what he told them to do. And the Bible says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man doeth, he shall reap. And God will still treat us that way today. God will still deal with people the way today. When God says something, when God commands something, he expects that it be obeyed. He doesn't, when God tells us things to do, it's not just an option that he's giving us. When he tells his creation what they are to do and he gives his express commands, he expects them to be met. He expects them to be done. And I've always seen that in the scriptures, that there are two things in the scriptures that you can find these from the very beginning. Why did God do what he did with Adam and Eve? Why did he drive them from the garden? Why did he cause death to come upon them? Because they didn't listen to what he told them. That's the reason. He told them that there were trees that they were allowed to eat from. He told them that there was one tree that they were not allowed to eat from. And when they disobeyed him, God punished them. And so if we look through the scriptures, we can find this taught all the way through the scriptures. And that is that God will reward for obedience. And he will. And God's rewards are great. God will reward people for obeying him, and God will punish people for disobeying him. And you can find that, as I said, through all of Scripture, and it's illustrated, and there are so many examples of that in the Bible, that God will absolutely do those two things. He will reward those that listen to him and obey him, and he will punish those that rebel against him and disobey him. Now, we here at this church, and this church has upheld this doctrine ever since the day of her organization. We preach here today and we believe that salvation is by God's grace. Salvation is not something that we deserve. And I want you to know something. If you're here today and you're lost and you are thinking that maybe you might be able to do something to work yourself into a state that you'll one day merit God's salvation, I want you to know that you're laboring in vain. You'll never accomplish that. Nobody that has ever been saved on their own merit. There's nobody that deserves to be saved. Everybody that has experienced that has experienced it by God's unmerited favor of grace. God has given to us, those of us that have been saved, God has given to us and blessed us with something that we could have never hoped to earn. We could have never hoped to merit that. And so we preach and we believe, and the Bible is certainly plain about it, that salvation is by grace and not by works. Paul wrote to Titus and he said, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Paul wrote to the Ephesians and he said, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. It's not of works. We don't have enough righteous works to merit salvation. Our works are not righteous anyway. God looks at our righteousness as filthy rags in his sight, according to what Isaiah told us. So it's by God's grace. But I do want to tell you this, that there is obedience required in being saved. You will have to obey the gospel in order to be saved. You will have to be saved on the terms of the gospel and be obedient to them, or you will not be saved by God's grace. And so the Apostle Paul wrote about that here in this writing here to the church at Thessalonica. He said that God was going to come in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So those that disobey the gospel bring about God's wrath upon them. Now I want you to think with me for a moment, and I'm going to just go through a very brief summary here. But if you go back and you read the 34th chapter of 2 Chronicles, it talks about Isaiah, or Josiah rather, becoming the king. And it says that Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. And in about the 8th year of his reign, he began to really seek after the Lord. And he began to purge there among the people of Israel. He began to purge out some of the things that they had been doing that were wrong. He began to tear down some of the altars that had been built to the idols, and tear down the groves and the high places, and the get rid of the wicked things that they had been doing. And in the 18th year of his reign, he sent some men to rebuild the temple. And while they were there, while they had undertaken that task, and while they were there, there was a priest among them named Hilkiah, and he found a book of the law. And he sent it back with Shaphan. He sent the book of the law back to the king. And when King Josiah read it, he was very disturbed by it. He read some things in the book of the law, and he saw the fault that had been among them. And I want to read this verse to you. This is how he responded to it when Josiah read this. He called those men together, Hilkiah being among them, and he said, go inquire of the Lord for me and for them that are left in Israel and in Judah concerning the words of the book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out upon us, because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord, listen, to do after all that is written in the book. Now, Josiah understood here that the wrath of God had been poured out, had come upon them as a people because they had lived in disobedience to the things that were recorded in the book of the law. Now, I'm thankful today that God has given us the book. I'm thankful that God has given us His Word. Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures that are able to make thee wise unto salvation. I'm glad that we have the Scriptures. I'm thankful that we have access to God's truth. I'm thankful that in the days of my childhood, as far back as I can go in my memory, I can remember people that would preach the truth to me, and I'm thankful for what God had given them to share, the truth. Friends, I'm telling you today, people still need the truth. In the year 2007, no matter what is going on in the world today, no matter how much that things have changed, we still need to hear the plain, unadulterated truth of God's Word. We need the truth. Lost friend, today, listen, you give God thanks that you are among a people today that will not back away, and that will just simply tell you the truth, because the truth will set you free. Jesus said it would, and it will. It'll set you free. There are a lot of people in the world today, and they are going through a form of preaching. I've not been shy at all in this about talking about this. I believe that you ought to be warned about this, that there are people in the world today and they're lurking around every corner and they are waiting for you, and they will tell you things that are not according to the truth, and if they can, they will draw you into that and they will deceive your soul and they will make you think that you've got something that you really don't have. Let me tell you something today. When you begin to seek after the salvation of your soul, you hold on and you seek until you get that God will tell you about. You wait until God assures you that you've been saved. I'm going to stand before the Lord one of these days, and you're going to stand before the Lord one of these days. And I know that when I stand before Him, when I go face the judge of all judges, when I go and face the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, when I stand before Him one day, if God were to look at me and He were to say, let me ask you, as you stand before me here today, how do you know that you've been saved? I'd be able to tell Him, well, God, you know that one night you told me about it. You're the one that told me. You're the one that revealed it to me. It's going to be a sad day for those that stand before Him. And, you know, if they're questioned about that, when they're questioned about that, and they say, well, you know, Dr. So-and-so here or Brother So-and-so here, he told me that I was saved. Friends, I want you to know something. There's nobody but God that can tell you that. God holds it, that power in His hands, and He hasn't given it to anybody else, and He's not going to. I want to tell you something today. If you're lost and without God, you are responsible to God. You know, when a person is 10 years old or 12 years old, if they're lost and without God at that age, they're just as lost as they're ever going to be. And you're just as responsible to God as anybody else is. And listen, when you realize, when God brings you to that point that you realize that you're lost and without God, it is entirely between you and the Lord. Entirely. When my kids were growing up, I tried, and I know that you here today as parents can relate to this. When my kids were growing up, if they needed help with something, I tried as much as I could within my means to help them. If they needed help to, if they had a question with their homework or a school project that they were working on, I tried with as much as, means as I had available and was able to, to try to help them. But with every one of them, I realized in being a parent, they came to a point where I couldn't help them. It was between them and the Lord. And friends, I still believe today that salvation is just that personal. It's between you and God. When you're lost, I want to tell you the truth today about what the Word of God says about it. Because it's a horrible thing to be lost. It really is. Because those that are lost are separated from God and doomed to eternal destruction. I mean, listen, I want you to understand this today. If you are lost here today, you are on your way to eternal destruction and damnation. You're already on your way. And you have but a short time to cry out to God. God's the only one that can take you from that path. God's the only one that can deliver you from that awful place that you're headed to. If you look in the third chapter of the Gospel of John, about verse 18, he speaks about the unbeliever, and he said, "He that believeth on the Son is not condemned, but he that believeth not on the Son is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God." And he goes on in John chapter 3, verse 36, there at the end of that chapter, he speaks about that again, and he says, "He that believeth not shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." If you're lost today, I want you to know that the wrath of God is abiding on you. The wrath of God is hovering on you. And you are already presently condemned. And the only way of escape is for you to cry out to God and to beg Him for His grace and to beg Him for His mercy, because God is the only one that has it to give. But friends, listen, if you're lost today and in your sins, you are on your road to a devil's hell. You're on your way. Just as sure as you are sitting here today, you're on your way. And God gave the very best. He gave the very best in order for you to be saved. I can't get over that. I heard a song recently. And in that song it said, "I'll never get over that I'm not under the bondage of sin anymore. I can't get over the things that God has done for us." The fact that God looked down upon man that had wronged him, that had disobeyed him, that was deserving of God's wrath, but yet through His love and His mercy sent His Son into the world, and He came into the world and He was obedient to God. Friends, let me tell you something. The one that purchased our salvation never disobeyed His Heavenly Father. He was obedient to God in every way. He did everything that God asked of Him, and He obeyed Him completely. And it's through His obedience and through His faith that we are able to have this wonderful salvation that we do. But God gave up more than you and I can even fathom in order for us to be saved. He He gave his son. He gave the very best that he had. And, you know, God there in heaven and his son on the earth for a time, he saw the suffering that he went through. You read the 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah, and it says that it tells us there that God saw the travail of his soul. He saw what Jesus was going through, and when he saw it, he was satisfied with it, and he accepted that work that the Son had done. And that's the only thing that God is satisfied with. But he sent his son into this world, and he suffered like you and I don't even understand. He suffered way more than what you and I will ever be able to understand. And for those that disobey God, and for those that don't come to the Lord and repent of their sins and trust him, for those that that blood that Jesus shed on the cross of Calvary, for those that go through life and count that as nothing to them, when you stand before God one day, he's not going to take it kindly. Now, friends, that's just the truth. That's the truth. And that's exactly what Paul was speaking about here when he wrote to the church at Thessalonica. He spoke about the coming of the Lord. You know, there's people in the world today, and I'll tell you what, just honestly, I wish they'd get saved. I pray that they would get saved and that they would stop telling people the things that they tell them. They get up in front of people and all they talk about is how that, you know, God wants you to have all the riches of life, and he wants you to have money, and he wants you to have this and have that, and that's all they ever tell people. You know, health, wealth, and prosperity preaching, that's all they talk about. You know, the Bible teaches me that God created man, that man disobeyed God, and that he became lost and separated from God. And God loved man so much that he gave his only begotten son, but that those that fail to take advantage of what God has offered through his son and fail to repent of their sins and fail to trust him for the salvation of their soul, God is going to one day separate them from his love and his mercy forever in a place called hell that burns with unquenchable fire, that is a place of eternal damnation. Lost friend, if you continue in your sins, hell will be your eternal dwelling place. It will be. Paul said that the Lord was going to come. And listen, he didn't say when he comes. Paul didn't write to these people and say, when the Lord comes, he's going to come down here and he's going to pat you on the head and say, oh, that's okay if you didn't repent and turn to me. I didn't mean it anyway. You won't find that in God's word. Paul said he was going to come in flaming fire, taking vengeance upon those that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, and they would be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. What do you suppose the worst thing about hell really is? Do you think it's the fire? Do you think it's the punishment? Do you think it's the pain and the suffering that people feel there? I'll tell you, friends, as far as I'm concerned, I'll tell you what the worst torture about hell is, and that's exactly what Paul wrote about here, that those that are in hell are forever separated from the love and the mercy of God. That's the worst part of it all. Hell is real. You know, when John the Baptist was baptizing people there at the Jordan, there were people that were saved and they were coming to John there and they were telling him about being saved, and he was baptizing them. And then there were some Pharisees and Sadducees that came to his baptism. They didn't come to him for the right purpose. And I believe John was aware of that. But when they came to his baptism, he asked them a question. Well, first he called them a generation of vipers. Oh, generation of vipers. And he asked them a question. And the question was, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Friends, I want you to know something. There is a great day of wrath that's coming upon those that have not obeyed the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't tell you all about it. I can't fully explain it to you today. But I want to tell you this, that God is no one to be trifled with. And God is no one to be disobeyed. You need to obey the gospel command. You need to repent of your sins. And you need to place your trust in the Lord. And you need to be saved by God's grace, because that's the only way that you're going to find favor with the Lord. Other than that, you're going to be outside of His fellowship. And the end being that one day you'll be separated forever from any hope, from any mercy, from any grace, from any opportunity ever again to come to the Lord and to seek Him and be saved. Paul said in his writing to the Hebrews that Jesus was once offered, once, one time He was offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for Him shall He appear a second time without sin unto salvation. When the Lord comes back again, He's not going to be coming with another offering for sin. He did that once. Unto them that look for Him, He will appear the second time without an offering for sin unto salvation. He will come one day and He will deliver His people. He will deliver those that have obeyed the gospel. The Bible tells me in the 25th chapter of Matthew about two eternal places that God has made. One of them is heaven and one of them is hell. And one day He'll say unto all of the righteous, unto all of those that have sought after Him and been saved, God will say to them one day, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And those that have not obeyed the gospel, He will say unto them, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. You see, God prepared both of those places. He prepared both of them. He prepared heaven for the redeemed. He prepared hell for the devil and his angels. And all of those that forget God, and all of those that fail to obey the gospel, will spend eternity in the lower world. And that's just the plain gospel truth. Years ago, there were men, one man in particular, but there were men that came to this country, and it was their goal to squelch that kind of preaching. They said, you know, we ought to stop preaching hellfire and damnation to people. What a mistake. You need to know the truth. Lost friend, the Lord is coming. He's no respecter of persons. He has made the same plan of salvation for everybody, and He won't accept anything short of it. God will not excuse anybody except through the blood of His Son. That's the only way. He's coming one day in flaming fire, and he's going to take vengeance on those that have not obeyed the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, in his time there at Ephesus, in the 20th chapter of Acts, he rehearsed that before them, and he told them, he said, while I was with you, I didn't keep back anything that was profitable unto you. But I taught you publicly and from house to house, repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Those were the requirements in his day. Those are the requirements in our day. Those that are going to be saved must repent towards God, and they must have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and trust him with all of the heart in order to be saved. God is granting to you today the opportunity to do that very thing, to turn to him. The fact that you are alive and breathing is a testimony to that, that God is extending to you his mercy and his grace and saying, you can come to me, you can come to me, and you can find the Lord. I'll tell you what, we could go around the room today, all of us that have been saved, we could start and we could go around the room today and we could tell our experiences, and you would hear so many different things. You would hear about people that got saved here and people that got saved there and some that got saved out, outside around a bar, and some that got saved in a church service on an altar. I mean, you would hear all different sorts of things related in our testimonies, but we all got saved the same way. We all got saved by meeting the same requirements of repentance and faith and trusting in the Lord for salvation. And lost friend, if you're going to get it, that's how you'll have to get it. The Lord has done everything necessary in order for you to have it. Everything. He's not left anything undone. Everything necessary to be done has been done in order for you to be saved. The plan is made. The plan is complete. The only thing that ever keeps anybody from being saved is yourself. Just a failure to obey the gospel and come to the Lord is the only thing that will prevent you from being saved. I want us to stand and have a song. I want you to know that today, if you're lost, you remember what the Bible says. He that believeth is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already, and the wrath of God abideth on you. And there's a day when his wrath will fully come. That's what the Apostle Paul was writing about in his letter to the church at Thessalonica. He was telling them about the day when God's wrath would fully come. But to you that are here today that are lost, if you die lost in your lost condition, God's wrath will abide upon you for all of eternity. There'll never be any escaping it. You need to come to the Lord, and you need to cry out to God for his mercy before it's too late. While we stand and sing, God help you, lost friend.